All right, you're live in the arms of Glenn.
Andrew.
And we are in our sort of almost complete new studio that through blood, sweat, and tears we built. A little rusty on a couple measurements, it turns out. So I'm pretty good at building things, but I forgot about a couple of I would like change something, and then I would forget to change all the other things appropriately, but we got it done.
We did.
So right now, we're actually in an enclosed room, and we're putting foam up on the walls right now. So once that's all done, we'll take some photos, and we'll show you guys. Or I know Drew's been wanting to post some before and after photos, so she's probably going to do that. But yeah, we got it all done. So now we're just putting up the foam. That'll be fun. And yeah, we'll get some things done here, and hopefully it sounds a little bit better.
Yeah.
Thank you guys who are telling us any audio problems that you're having. It's like once we move from here or from the old studio to here, it seems like every time we move to a new studio, which we've done a couple times in the last 5 years, equipment sometimes gets a little messed up or a little thing gets turned or tweaked on the board and we don't realize it. So if you're having a hard time hearing me or hearing Drew, just let us know. It's like 2 weeks ago, no one could hear me, and then last week, no one could hear Drew or something. I don't know.
Well, I think also, too, it's people who listen to us on the podcast versus Facebook Live, because Facebook Live is a different microphone.
Yes.
So it's not utilizing the microphones that are in front of our faces.
And really, the podcast should be the highest quality audio.
Yeah.
So for you guys who really want to get, like, the best quality audio, iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, like, those, that's where you're going to get the best audio.
Yeah.
So these cool microphones that you see in front of us, those are not used for, obviously, Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah.
There's a little microphone over here called the Blue Snowball that is, I don't know why the fuck they call it Blue Snowball, but it's made from a company, I guess, a company called Blue, and it looks like a snowball, even though it's black. I don't know, whatever. But they call it a snowball, and that's what's used for Facebook Live. Instagram just uses a freaking
phone.
That's it.
So. And that works half the time.
Yeah, and for the last couple of weeks, the phone's been giving us problems.
For whatever reason, it's not the phone, it's
Instagram. Instagram's been giving us a hard time. So
yeah.
That's what it is. But anyways, all right. So thank you, patrons, for sending in your show ideas. Thank you for sending in your feedback and what you guys want to get out of the show and all that kind of stuff. Keep it coming, man.
Yeah.
Keep it coming. We grow the show with input from our listeners and our patrons.
Mm-hmm.
Without input or anything from you guys, we just kind of keep doing what we do. So you better freaking let us know. We're just going to keep doing whatever we want. So if there's something you want us to do, you gotta tell us. All right. I got a woo-saw for a second. So I'm going to try not to rant because it's not important, and I want to get onto the topic of the show, and we got some other things to talk about. First thing. We're a little late this morning. We're like so excited we're going to be able to start on time.
Why are we late? We were here on time.
Everything was set up on time.
Why are we late?
Perhaps it is the fact that public schooling is fucking stupid horseshit. This online program of schooling, like our kids are here and we've got them all set up and, you know, they've got all their computers and everything.
As you can see, our kids in the background on Facebook right now.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, Gracie.
It is an absolute joke. It's a fucking joke.
Yeah.
The whole thing is a disgusting, offensive joke. Everyone's running around worried about whether or not we're wearing masks, and our children's education is literally being shoved down the fucking toilet, and no one gives it. The next person that says something about a mask in public, I'm just going to unleash my public schooling rant on them. Or my Wayfair rant, or perhaps my, you know, crazy rioters with long guns trying to kill cops rant. Like, this is insane, dude.
Yeah.
The things that people are concerned about in this country and not concerned about in this country is disgusting to me. Disgusting. Like, I can't. I'm running out of can with this bullshit anymore. It absolutely blows my mind. The kids are learning nothing. When I ask my kids, what do you learn? They literally tell me, nothing.
Yeah.
So what'd you learn today? Nothing. What'd you learn last week? Nothing. What have you learned since all this began? Nothing. They've learned how to navigate Zoom.
Yeah.
That's what they've learned how to do. They literally haven't learned how to do anything else. It's a total freaking waste of time. The whole schooling thing is a total waste of time. So, look, if you're listening and you're a public school teacher or an administrator, you can be part of the difference, man. I know your pension's important to you, right? And you're trying to be a positive change or whatever. And that's good. Thank you for doing that. But it's like masks. If you guys don't want to wear a mask, I'm not saying do. I'm not saying don't. I'm saying if you don't, You know how to just stop fucking wearing them. If you don't want it, stop complying. Jesus Christ. Stop doing it. Like, stop being a part of the system you don't like. I know it's easier. I know the consequences of not being part of the system are scary and possibly dangerous. I understand that. Now, I'm also telling you that if we keep going down the path we're going of blind compliance because we're scared of what'll happen if we don't, I'm telling you what the result is. Crack open a fucking history book and you will find out what is going to happen next. If you don't think history repeats itself, crack open a history book that goes back further and watch the patterns. It is the same shit all the time. And the path we're headed down right now, historically, is scary. It's very scary. Scary for my children. It's scary for our future. And yet, whatever. People just comply. I'm going to have an Altoid and I'm going to calm the fuck down. Put a little peppermint in my system. It's good for me. I learned that a long time ago. That's why I always have Altoids. Peppermint calms me down. Good if you inhale it, actually. Calms you down even better and focuses your mind. I used to get I actually still have it in my range bag, I think, but it might be dried up. But I have like a little inhaler thing with peppermint essential oils. That's right, I said essential oils. And I inhale it like before I'd teach or if I was getting all fired up about something. It'll calm me down, get me centered and focused. I need to get that bad boy out again. I'm getting fired up about a lot of shit lately. So. Improvising is not a plan. Here's why I say that. I'm getting really tired of responding to comments on social media stuff or questions people have. I don't mind the questions. The questions I like because that's teaching opportunity. But the comments of like, I don't need that. I'll just improvise it. Fucking die, man. Die while you improvise. I cannot handle this improvisation shit. What Drew is telling you is we can totally hear you when you laugh. All right. So kids are everywhere. So improvisation is not a freaking plan. Quit thinking you're going to improvise stuff. Quit thinking you're going to improvise medical tools. Quit thinking you're going to improvise tactics or you're going to improvise some kind of magical physical fitness ability. Ugh, I'm getting tired of it, man. You're not going to rise to the occasion. You will sink to your highest level of training. If that level of training is minimal to nothing, then that's what you'll get. You've got to have a plan that includes not improvising. All right, whatever. Medieval times. Went there, took one of our daughters to Medieval Times. Tons of fun. Tons of fun. If you haven't been and you're in Arizona, especially if you're in the Phoenix area, it's over in Scottsdale. Pretty cool place. You have to wear a mask. That is my complaint. Until you get into where you actually have to sit down. Like, they won't even let you in the building without it. Of course, they don't tell you that till, you know, after you've paid full price. And I know I just said you got to, you know, don't comply, but that's a private entity, so they can kind of do whatever they want to do, I guess. But had to wear a stupid freaking mask for the very, very basic minimal amount of time that I absolutely had to do it. And till we got to our seats. And overall, though, the show was cool. Show was cool. COVID and all this bullshit, by the way, totally crippling that company. They have to do social distancing inside. So that pretty much, the show itself is amazing. Amazing horsemanship, great little show, amazing food, good service. I really enjoyed the thing. But social distancing, they're half at capacity because they've got to be spread out so far. And then the other issue is all the little restrictions and everything they have make it really hard for staff to do their job. And then they make the actors wear masks. I'm like, dude, what's that got to be like? Riding around in an enclosed arena on horseback with sword fighting and all this shit with a mask on? Oh, God. That's got to be even more exhausting. So whatever. Anyway, if you haven't checked it out and you want to have some fun, there's a good thing to check out in Phoenix. Rioters are now using long guns. Saw that in the news this morning. So whenever people, you know, in the past, people have always been like, there's no need to carry a long gun in my truck. That's crazy. I don't need to take a long gun with me. My handgun's sufficient if they even do that. You know, if I find myself in a situation where I need a long gun, blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what, man? The enemy has long guns and they're openly carrying them around in city centers now. And they're taking them to public arenas now. And that's a pretty serious problem. So it is absolutely possible that we may have to engage an opponent with a freaking long gun. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. It's something to be aware of. Your opponents potentially have long guns. All right. Last little thing on the news, or in news, I guess I should say. Openings, if you're interested in getting your CCW permit and you're in Arizona, or you have your CCW permit and it's been a while since you had any kind of refresher, you should definitely do that. Our refreshers are half price for anyone who has a current CCW permit to get in on the program. We're doing our 2-evening class starting tonight, 6 to 10 in Scottsdale, tomorrow 6 to 10 in Phoenix for the range portion, classroom tonight, range tomorrow. We've got a few openings left. We've been selling them out, but we had a few cancellations last minute for some people who couldn't make it. So just so you know, if you're looking to do it, we got a couple openings in that class and a few more openings in the September class as well. So that's it. Anything else for news?
I don't think so.
It's the same old shit right now. It's like no interesting news right now. Whatever. All right. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. Consider the source of where you're getting your gear reviews. What I mean by that is, how is the person who's reviewing the piece of gear contextualizing it for you or for themselves? Because someone who's going to shoot a competition with a piece of gear, may not necessarily have the same context or application as me, and vice versa. So make sure anytime you're listening to a gear review, watching a gear review, reading a gear review, whatever it may be, that you consider the source of where somebody is drawing from. That's important. It may not necessarily apply to you. All right, so Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. All right, time to get straight to our topic, which I'm excited about today because we got a bunch of our instructors involved. We're going to be discussing the top things that instructors, specifically from Independence Training, wish students would do before they came to training and the top items and gear that they forget. Now, we polled a dozen instructors this morning. So we got a lot of information back about what people wish, or what our instructors wish that students would do before they came to class and what they wish they would bring. So I kind of compiled it into two lists here. The first one is what we wish you would do before you came to class and what we wish you would bring that most people forget. And what was interesting is that out of a dozen instructors that we pulled, all of us, every single one of us, said a couple of things exactly the same way. And then a few people had some other ideas. So I've compiled this. And when I get to something that literally everyone said, I'm going to mention that because it's really important when you've got a dozen people who say the exact same thing, right? So here's what we're going to start with. The first thing that instructors, this is kind of in no particular order here, okay? But the first thing that instructors wish students would do before they came to a training class is come with the mindset to train, to learn, that to be ready to have fun. Fun is a vital element of learning, but show up like they're headed to the gym or getting ready to present, do a presentation to their coworkers. Basically, be ready to learn and be ready to perform. And that's the idea of, this isn't an entertainment opportunity for you. Now, I'm going to caveat this with this. Some classes are entertaining. In other words, the instructors specifically set their programs up to be entertaining and fucking masturbatory to the students. They're going to jerk them off all day. They're going to give them a little sticker at the end or whatever, pat them on the back, tell them what a gunfighter they are, and they're prepared to overcome all obstacles because they were trained by XYZ dude, and then send them off into the freaking world. That's entertainment, or as the late, great Pat Rogers used to call it, entertainment, right? Which is one of my favorite terms you guys have heard me use before. Then there's courses that are specifically there for your learning. And when they're there for your learning, make sure you show up with that in mind. Be there for your learning. That means tell people, don't text me today unless it's an emergency. Don't call me today unless it's an emergency. I'm not going to be corresponding with you unless it's an emergency. Don't allow yourself to get distracted by that kind of crap. I mean, I literally have watched people, I've corrected students in class actually on this before. I've watched them post up about class, like beginning a class, or, you know, they'll video us doing something and they want to post it. And I'm like, cool, that's awesome. Yeah, do that. You know, on a break or during lunch or something, post something. But then I watch them checking it, and I've walked past people before and go, so how many likes did that post get? And they're like, oh, I'm like, you know, side note, you're going to get more out of class if you're more concerned about learning the information about how many likes your post got. And usually that makes them put their freaking phones away. But the reality is, show up ready to learn, show up ready to perform. The next tip that we got from our instructors is be physically prepared. Physically prepared. Stretch out. Make sure that you're ready for the class. Like, are you going to be capable of accomplishing this? And be acclimated to the weather as much as possible. Look, it's hot out there. We train in the heat. So a number of our instructors brought this up. Of course, this is one of my points specifically, personally, which was be acclimated. If it's super, super hot and you're going to go to a 1 or 2 or 3 day class where it's going to be super hot, go outside a little bit beforehand. Spend a few days going outside for a few hours and just walking around, getting used to being outside, getting used to being in the heat. If you work in a cubicle farm or drive around in a vehicle all day or only spend a couple hours, you know, outside a day, and then you go into a training class, you're going to get blasted when you're out there for 8 to 10 hours. We watch it all summer long. We watch people just get destroyed by the weather. So make sure that you're acclimated to the weather. This is actually one of Drew's, as well as about 3 or 4 of our other guys, and that is read the email. Go ahead.
What were you going to say? I was going to say, I feel like if we had 10 students, maybe 1 or 2 read the full email.
Yeah.
And then people come to class and they're like, oh, well, I didn't know I needed to bring all these mags loaded, because that's in the email. And then we have to sit there and talk and while people are loading mags, because nobody can, you know, it just eats away at time that we could be doing something differently.
Oh, I'm always personally amused by this. Over the years, someone will call me. They'll be just before a class. They'll be like, I'm lost. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, what range are you at? Or did you go to the wrong place? I took a wrong turn, or it took me this, or I don't understand where to go. And I'm like, okay, well, there's 16 people here, and then you are lost. So don't take some personal responsibility. Don't blame us for this failure.
Yeah.
We write a very detailed email. A course outlines, and by the way, if you attend a class or you're trying to attend a class and they don't send a pre-course email, find out what their refund policy is. Because if they don't have attention to detail in that, they probably don't really give a shit about your overall educational capability.
Yeah.
Like, they probably don't really care that much about what you're going to get out of class if they can't help to prepare you to get the most out of class. So that should be a big red flag to you if a company is not sending you a freaking pre-course email. But with that said, read the whole email. Read it in detail. When I'm going to a class or when I'm shooting a competition, one of the things I like to do if I'm in the area and I'm not familiar with it, like if I've traveled or something, I like to go out to the site the night before or the day before and just make sure I know how to get there.
Yeah.
How far of a drive is it going to be from my hotel?
Yeah.
Are there any coffee shops on the way? Are there any... You know, where I also kind of do, like, where's my local hospitals and fire stations and all that kind of stuff. I like to figure out that information too. So I'll just take a little cruise around and just double check. Like, there's nothing stopping you from doing that. If nothing else, give it a quick Google map.
Yeah.
The night
always,
before.
Yeah, always double check. Make sure you know exactly where you're going, how long it's going to take you. Because we even have a lot of people that show up late to class because they can't find it. And we can see them driving back and forth. And, you know, it's always that fun little game of, I'll bet you $10 they're supposed to be in our class.
I bet they're looking for us. But read the email. Read it twice.
Yeah.
Go through it. Don't assume just because, oh, I'm an old hand, I've trained a lot. Don't assume that you're not going to read the email and go, oh, shit, I almost forgot that.
Mm-hmm.
Read the email.
Especially if it's your first time taking our course.
Get to know it. And that's with anybody. Yeah. Read the email. Remember, these things that we're telling you, this isn't just for independence training courses. I can guarantee you any quality instructor out there right now who's hearing this is like, yep. All right, because they have the same problems we have. Mm-hmm. Check your gear before you leave home. Double check it. Make sure it's ready to go for the class. Most importantly, make sure you have everything you need. There's nothing that sucks worse. You know, we had a student not too long ago who, like, gets all the way to the range. They're 30 minutes away and realizes it's going to be blasting hot outside, realizes they forgot a hat. Now, normally we have extra company hats in the truck, and I'll pass them out, but we had literally just run out. We just got our new order in, by the way, but we had just run out of company hats, and so I'm like, sorry, I got nothing to give you. You're going to have to freaking go home and get a new hat, and that's mm-hmm. what they had to do. And then that delayed them. They missed 45 minutes worth of freaking class. It's like, well, I can't stop for you. Can't wait for you to go.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff sucks. Make sure you check your gear before you leave your house. Have a good idea of specific skills you want to improve on versus I just want to get better. This was mine as well as one of our other instructors' notes, right? And that is have a good idea of specific skills you want to improve on versus I just want to get better. Students come to me, especially for private training, and they're like, hey, I want to get faster. My first question is, well, how fast are you? Or they go, I want to be more accurate. My first question is, well, how accurate are you? You can't just say, I want to do this. Well, where are you at? Have an idea of what you want to do. What do you want to be faster? Do you want me to make you physically faster? You want me to make help you move physically faster? Because that's a set of exercises we're going to do.
Yeah.
Or do you want to be faster to your sights? Or do you want to be faster out of the holster? Or do you want to be faster with your movement? And people are like, well, yeah, all of it. And it's like, okay, well, I can't do that in one day. It's impossible. It's physically, humanly impossible for me to work on all those skills with you in one day. So let's work on a couple of things. But if you come to class with an idea of like, even a big class, 16 students, we have enough instructors. We have a low student to instructor ratio. So because of our low student to instructor ratio, everyone's going to get some time with instructors throughout the day.
Yeah.
So if an instructor can come up to you and go, hey, man, what are you trying to get out of today? And you're like, dude, I'm really working on getting out of the holster faster. Maybe that's not something we're specifically working on in that class, but that instructor can be like, no problem, man. I'm going to focus specifically on you getting out of the holster faster. But if you don't know what you're going to work on, you're just going to sit with the rest of the flow of class. Know what you specifically want to do. This came from one of our guys who I think is one of our more, probably one of our most humble instructors, but also one of our most critical instructors. And that is forget what you think you know, right?
I know who that's from.
Forget what you think you know. Who do you think it was from?
Josh.
Yes, it was. Forget what you think you know. Like, come to class with an open mind. I'll tell you one of the most fun classes I ever went to. It was actually with Josh. We went to a rifle class out in California. We took a 2-day class together. And mostly we went out there to kind of proof this class, so to speak. We were also writing an article on it. But we went out there, and it was kind of to accomplish a couple different goals. And we went there and, for all intents and purposes, pretended that we had a zero base of knowledge, right? And we just started from square one, like, teach us about shooting a rifle, right? And then we learned, and we progressed, and we used what we could when it was applicable, but really tried to apply the techniques of the instructor. You know, he had this crazy wind formula that didn't really make a lot of sense to us, but we tried it, right? We wanted to see if it would work. Initially, we were like, this is stupid. This isn't going to work. But let's try it, because what if it does work better than what we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Let's try it. Let's forget about the other thing we do, and let's do this. So forget what you think you know. Don't be so excited to come into class and start trying to impress the instructor with your knowledge. Just be quiet, mouth closed, ears open, and see what you can learn.
Yeah.
And there will come a time to apply what you know, right? But until that time, pretend like you don't know anything. Mm-hmm. This came from one of our medical instructors. Get a good night's rest. Get a good night's rest. Before the class, get a good night's rest. Make sure you're 100% walking into this program. Not, oh man, I stayed up late because I had work and the kids and, you know, and drank too many beers or whatever. Like, we get that happens. Okay. We totally know. As instructors, we totally get it. All right. We do it too before we teach a class sometimes. But in reality, the more rest you get, the better off that you're going to be. So try to get a full night's sleep.
Yeah.
especially if you know the next day is going to kick your ass physically.
Yeah.
If you're not ready with all the heat or the cold or the wind or whatever situation is going to totally blast you. All right.
And eat in the morning. Have a good breakfast in the morning is super important.
That was actually that same medic's other point, which was eat well before class.
Yeah.
Eat a good breakfast.
Yeah, it's super important, especially because a lot of people don't understand, especially when it's hot out, that you don't particularly have a huge appetite.
Mm.
So eat beforehand so you can feel your body to progress through the rest of the day, because you're going to be kind of nitpicking throughout the entire day.
Mm.
And if you don't have a good basis when you start, you're just going to get sick.
And this same medical instructor, actually, this was another point of his, which was his other third point, which was expose yourself to images of injuries and first aid emergencies before class. He mostly teaches medical stuff with us, and so he's like, it's always kind of an annoyance to him, I've noticed in class, when we'll put up a gross image of like a wound, and everyone's like, oh my God, and they're all cringy, like, oh, I can't look at it. We don't even start class with anything gruesome.
I know. I'm assuming this
pretty
is
minor.
Adele.
It actually isn't.
Oh.
It's James.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's just like, dude, how do you not know this is coming?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about stopping the bleeding. We're going to talk about puncture wounds. We're going to talk about amputations. We're going to talk about traumatic injuries. How did you not think we were going to look at some pictures of traumatic injuries, watch videos of traumatic injuries? Now, I can understand that some students are going to come to class and they're like, I'm coming to class to be exposed to this because I'm scared I'm not going to be ready. And so I want you guys to show me the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, awesome, we'll show you the right way. But when a lot of people are doing it, you're like, did you not think this was going to happen? So like, expose yourself so that when you show up to class, you're not like, oh God, this is the first time I've ever seen a squirting blood wound. It's like, yeah, okay, I watched a couple videos on this. It can still make me a little uneasy. That's okay. But it's not my very first time I've ever seen it, right?
We just had someone almost pass out, or did she?
Oh, no, we had someone pass out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's it. Yeah, James was there.
James was there. Caught her. Yeah. Like a boss. Yeah, so, he was this younger gal.
He's single ladies.
Yeah, these single ladies just pass out when James comes around. You know what I mean? I get it. But but he was over there actually helping this gal's mom. And she was like, I don't feel very good. And then just boom, out. And we were 20 minutes into a stop the bleed class. We weren't even really showing anything gruesome. It was just putting the tourniquet on and thinking of the idea of bleeding. And she was out, man. I mean, she straight went down. So luckily, Dashing James was there to catch her and then rescue her. But yeah, that was pretty rough.
Oh, James.
When possible, review info before class from the why perspective and not just the how perspective. And so looking at it from this point and this instructor's point was, look at it from the perspective of why am I going to be doing this? Why am I wanting to learn this? Than just how are we going to accomplish this task? How am I going to become a better shooter? Okay, why do you want to become a better shooter? To what level of better, quote unquote, better shooter do you need to be? Are you trying to be a competitive shooter, a combative shooter? You just want to be competent and competent with your gun? Like, what are you looking for?
Yeah.
You know, look at the why. Why do I want to take this class? Do I want to take this class because I just want to go hang out with this instructor? Do I want to take this class because I think it's fucking cool or whatever? Like, why do you want to take this class? Be more specific. Perform maintenance on firearms and gear before you arrive so that you can focus on learning and not maintenance of your gear. And this is something we were actually talking about in the car on the way over.
Yeah.
And that's how much stuff do we see fall apart in classes?
Oh my gosh. The time people fuck around with their gear because their holster sucks, they don't have a good proper belt, they spend more time so hyper-focused on their gear not properly working that they don't listen to a thing that we have to say.
Now, there's an extent in training where people are there to test their gear.
Correct.
And that should be like a basic level class.
And you should also bring a backup, knowing that you're here pressure testing gear, that you know something will work in case you have to swap it out real quick and be like, all right, this isn't going to work and I don't have time to deal with it. Now I know that the issues are here. I can do that later. Let me get something where I can actually benefit from class.
And in a basic level class, we don't expect that. We don't expect everyone to have backups and extras and all that. But as you go up the level of class, like, look, man, if you're going to come to an advanced handgun class and your shit is falling apart, why are you here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're probably not ready for this level. Shooting you might be, but guys, there's way more to this game than shooting.
Yeah.
Shooting's 2% of the fight. The other 98% of the fight is not having your fucking shit break. And knowing how to handle the situation and the verbals and the physical and avoidance and deterrence and knowing the laws, rules of engagement, all the other shit that we talk about, right? So it's like, yeah, you might be quote-unquote advanced, right, in shooting where you can hit your target well, but are you ready with all the other stuff?
Yeah.
Because if you show up to an advanced class and your sling falls off, get your ass back to a fucking defensive class. You're not ready for advanced training when your sling's falling apart.
Yeah.
You know?
They make a good sling. It's red wire gear.
Red wire gear's convertible sling. Never had one fall apart. Did break one, though. Did I tell you that story?
No.
It's kind of a stupid story. So we were doing a test with Wilderness Tactical where we were like, you could pull a truck. These belts are so damn strong. You could pull a truck like out of a ditch. You could use one as a tow strap. So we had Sam from Wilderness Tactical come out, and we legitimately hooked her truck to mine and put her truck in park.
I know this story.
And I hooked it, and I hooked the belt, and I drug her truck around the range with a freaking belt, just hooked my truck like a tow strap.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And we had a great time. We pulled it up hills and down hills. We put it in park. We put it in neutral. We messed around with it. And then I'm like, John, you think we can pull a truck with your sling? And he's like, probably not. I'm like, well, bring one and we'll find out. We hook it up, like, bam, snap. Like, definitely not made for pulling trucks. Not what it was designed for at all. It's great for holding up rifles.
And
not for pulling trucks.
I use that for my gear bag. That's my strap for my range bag.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you actually do use a sling. And we use a sling for a dog leash. Yeah. We use a sling for all kinds of fun stuff. So Chris actually just jumped on the Instagram and said, mags falling out during movement is another thing. Optics and slings falling the fuck off during training is not excusable. Yeah, I mean, that's true, man. I mean, mags just falling out of pockets. We jokingly call that yard sailing. You know, like, it's tactical yard sale, man. We like to walk up, and sometimes if it's happened multiple times with one student, I'll pick it up, and I'll start raffling it off to people. I'll pick something off and be like, who give me $10 for this mag? $10 for this mag? Or,
I'm notorious for mags coming out because I don't use – I just put them in my pockets.
It bothers me deeply. But, yeah, stuff falling off. Like, prepare your equipment. Your light – I understand showing up to train to test gear. That's part of the reason training exists. But a flashlight falling off your rifle – an optic falling off your rifle, your sling just falling apart and making the gun fall off your body, your gun flying out of the holster, shit like that should not be happening if you spent a little bit of time beforehand making sure. Now, here's the thing, too. I believe we do a pretty good job at preparing our students for success. Mm-hmm. In the beginning of class, we show the administrative load of all firearms, handgun, carbine, rifle, shotgun. And when I'm showing the administrative load, everyone's like fucking zoned out because they're like, yeah, I get it. I'm not going to pay attention. So they don't fucking pay attention.
Is Zero here?
Yeah, no, Zero's the voice. And then I'm like, hey, you should pay attention to this. But like, oh, no, I was in the Marine Corps or whatever. I know how to load a rifle. I'm a rifleman or whatever. And so then what happens is it's always that person that's not paying attention. They go to load their gun later. Mag falls out. They're shooting. A flashlight falls off. They're messing around with something, mag comes flying out of a holder. And you're like, remember that one time during the admin load I told you to check all your equipment? That the admin load is the appropriate time to set yourself up for success? Check your sling, check your optic, check your batteries, check your lights, check your lasers, check your sights. Make sure they flip up and down. Make sure they're tightened. Make sure everything is still attached to your gun. Check your suppressors to make sure it's on. I've seen suppressors, boo, fucking shoot off right in the middle of class because they weren't properly ratcheted or locked on. I've seen suppressor covers fly off. I've seen suppressor covers fly off the ends of freaking suppressors and get shot. I've seen all kinds of crazy stuff happen.
Yeah.
I've seen crazy shit happen in classes. How many classes I've taught, how many students I've been with at this point, holy shit, have I seen amazing things happen with gear. Sometimes it's insanity. Like, stuff breaks and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Did not see that coming, right? Other times you're like, dude, I literally just finished telling you to make sure your flashlight's screwed on and your flashlight fell off in the first 100 rounds.
Yeah, and if you have a brand new gun, make sure you fire it before class. That was fun the other...
Yeah. That is helpful. And again, it depends on the level of class.
Yeah.
Like a basic handgun class, we expect people to show up with a gun in a case being like, I bought this and I haven't opened it since. How do I put the bullets in?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How do I put the bullets in the clip? And you're like, first of all. Mm-hmm. No, but it's like, really, it's, I understand that. But when people are showing up to defensive advance or whatever level of class, they're like, I'm ready. And then their shit's falling apart. You're like, you might be ready there with shooting, but you're not ready there with the mindset concept here.
Yeah.
Make sure your stuff's squared away. It happens. Stuff does break. I've certainly had plenty of stuff break. It happens, man. But perform some maintenance and really especially proper lubrication with your gun. And I'll say this too. Actually, Mason brought this up. This is a really good point on maintenance. With the weird situation going on with ammo and the more and more people using steel case now, make sure that you're cleaning your ARs more or your pistols. If you're using steel case ammo, you need to maintain your firearms more. You need to make sure they're properly lubricated. You make sure the chambers are cleaned. You really need to make sure that you also have a cleaning rod, especially with your ARs. That steel case is going to get stuck at some point in time. If you don't have a cleaning rod, you're SOL. So make sure that you're maintaining your firearms better. It's not brass case. It's not that clean. It's going to foul your gun. It's going to make problems for you. So really make sure you're paying more attention to that. Another thing that we wish you would do before you came to training courses, bring your questions. Write them down before class. And literally bring your questions. I've had some students do this where they show up, we're doing our briefing, we're like, all right, guys, anybody have any questions? And someone's like, yep, and they pull out a notebook and they're like, here's all my questions. I'm like, yes. I love when private students do that. When private students show up with a notebook and they've got 15 questions and they're like, these are all the questions I have. And I'm like, yes, that is why you're here. You're literally paying me to answer your questions.
Yeah.
If you had questions a day ago, you're not going to remember them right now in the moment. So write your questions down and bring them to us. That's what we want. And ask those questions in class as much as needed. What else? Chris says, on Instagram, the independence training student pre-email is detailed enough to set people up for success out of the gate. The irony is that people either glaze over it or don't read it at all, like showing up without an optic. Yes. And that's one thing, Chris, I know you just joined us, but that's one thing we actually talked about in the very beginning of the show is reading the damn email. And Chris is right. He actually helped me teach a carbine class just a few months ago where a guy showed up.
Honey, that was this month.
No. This is a couple months ago. Where a guy showed up to a defensive carbine class, literally brand new carbine in the box, no sling, no sights, no optic, two mags. That's it. That's all he had. And we were like, dude, you don't have anything. Like you can't successfully navigate this class. You don't even have a sights. You know what I mean? So luckily, we're nice, and we got him set up with a sling, and we got him set up with optics, and we got him set up with some extra mags, and we made sure that he did, and he ended up, you know, being an attentive and capable student. But it's just one of those things where it's like, if he would have read the email, then he could know, oh, I don't have that. Let me email the instructor. Hey, man, we've loaned all kinds of shit out to students. We're totally happy to loan stuff out to students.
And we bring other rifles in case
there's always have extra stuff.
Yeah.
But we got to know beforehand, you know? Be ready to put things in context. This is the last thing before we get to the gear that you likely forget. This is going to be the last thing. Be ready to put things in context. Actually, I'm sorry. There's two more things. Be ready to put things in context. In context means know where the instructor is drawing from and how they're going to teach you, what perspective they're going to draw from. And how are you going to apply that to your life?
Yeah.
That one should be pretty self-explanatory. This is the next one. This is a personal thing. All right? I'm going to try not to sound like a dick when I say this because genuinely from the bottom of my heart, I really love our students.
We have great students.
We don't have dickhead students. We don't have shitty students. I don't have annoying students. In 11 years of doing this, I have only had a few students that I was like, please God, when are you going home? You know what I mean? I just don't have shitty students. We're just used to great students.
Yeah.
Our students are our kind of people. Our students have given me an opportunity and us an opportunity and our other team an opportunity to do what we love and to teach and to educate and to be able to make a living doing it. I genuinely love our students for more reasons than the fact that they are how I make a living. I I didn't start this. Most people don't know. I did not start this company to make a living. I never got into training as a way to make a living. It became the way that I made a living. I started this because I genuinely love teaching people. And I think even after 11 years, I really hope that passion still shows. I think it does. So don't take this the wrong way at all. Here we go. If you show up more than 15 minutes early, don't go fucking come talk to us.
Yeah.
When we're downrange, I know you're trying to be helpful and help us set up. And if you're one of our regular students, like we see you a lot, yeah, come on down, man. Fucking come on down. We probably miss you. Come on down and talk to us. Come on down and help us set up. You know what we're looking for. You know how we want shit set up, and you can be an asset. But if it's your very first, second class with us, we haven't seen you in a long time, we don't see you that often or whatever, don't come down and chat with us. Here's why. This is our time. We're going to be with you for the next 8, 9, 10 hours, right? This is our time, man. This is where we're pre-gaming it down there as instructors. We're talking about how we're going to handle the day. We're talking about concerns we have if there's certain students on the list. You know, if I got a student who's showing up, is like, I have one arm or something. Like, we got to figure out, hey, man, who's going to handle this person the most, you know? We are like, hey, man, I know we've got someone showing up. They told, you know, they emailed me and said they're brand new shooter. So, hey, I'm going to, you know, chop them off to you guys and just you specifically, Jay or Chris or whatever. I want you to handle it, right? Like, we're talking about shit that you don't need to hear about and that doesn't apply to you. And then when you come down and like want to catch up with us and shit, it distracts us from getting our job done. And if we're, especially if we're still setting up target stuff. Now, again, if you're an old hand and you're like, hey, man, I'm going to come down and staple up behind you guys. Awesome. We appreciate that. Thank you. But don't come down and try to talk to us. And sometimes we have students who show up like 30, 40 minutes early. Like we're barely just showing up and they're like arriving. Mm-hmm. Now, if they arrive that early because, hey, they wanted to miss traffic or something, I got no problem with that. But just kind of leave us alone. And this is all instructors. I think I speak for all instructors. When I say this, there's no one I know who's in this profession who's like, I love when students show up an hour early and want to talk to me. It's like, dude, I have to be with you 8, 9 hours. I got to be dedicated to you. I have to emotionally, physically, and mentally invest in your success for the next entire literal workday. Give me 20 minutes in the beginning, right? Same thing after. Now, in the middle of the day, I'll say this about lunch. I am 100% open to hanging out with students during lunch.
Yeah.
Sometimes as instructors, we end up just sitting in a certain place. But dude, if you're in one of our classes, come over and talk to us if we're not mingling with you. And our guys typically do a good job of mingling around during lunch because that's still part of the class to us. Lunch is still part of the class to us. Sometimes we may have to leave and get food or something. Sometimes we can't always mingle, but most of the time we try to. So I don't try to separate myself during lunch. But when it comes time to after class, remember we also want to go home. We have shit to clean up, right? You had to help us clean up brass or maybe clean up a couple things. Thank you for helping us do that as a student. We appreciate that a lot.
Unless we're in Casa Granistan.
And we just let the tweakers take it. But or sometimes students will help us, you know, they'll help us drop the targets or something. It's like, awesome, thank you.
Yeah. Especially in long hot days.
Oh yeah. Like we will take all the help we can get, man.
Yeah.
But when it comes time to like loading the truck, that's when we're debriefing, we're talking with each other about the class. We do usually have a specific way shit has to be loaded so that either A, it fits, or B, everything goes right back in the right place so that it's there next time. Ask your quick questions. We're fine with answering questions after class.
This is one of my
big things. Drew knows to her chagrin, right? I will absolutely stop and talk to students. Teaching people. It is literally my passion. I love doing it. I will absolutely stop after class, before class, whatever, and I will talk to students. However, don't monopolize our time. Don't take advantage of the fact that we're willing to stay after class and talk to you. Ask us some quick questions, say thanks, whatever, and then leave, please.
Yeah.
Go home. You need to relax, and so do we.
And digest the information.
Yeah. Email us your questions afterwards.
Yeah.
Send us a video message. Call us. I don't care. But make it quick at the end of class and then let us go do our thing. Because we're also hungry or we got to take shit or we got to finish cleaning all this stuff up.
Or we have dogs.
Or we got dogs we got to get home and take care of. I got to go pick up kids or something.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we're on a tight schedule. We're like, hey, class ends at this time. We know it takes about this much time to clean up. And then Drew and I are going on a date, right? There's something happening. Wrap it up, man.
Usually it's dogs.
In the time that you've got us, I love you. Please ask us the questions. Engage with us. Don't ever, ever, ever be afraid to approach any of us and any other good organization with the other great organizations I know and the people we've talked about on the show and guests we've had on the show that are other amazing instructors. I know they feel the same way. But when it's before or after, give them a break, man. And it sucks. I always feel like a dick when I say that, but it's like, it's all my instructors have all seen me roll my eyes and like groan when we're downrange setting up targets and, you know, 7:15, class starts at 8, and two students pull up and they like get out of their truck, start walking towards us. Hey, anything we can do to help? And it's like, yeah, you cannot be here. Like I genuinely, genuinely value you as a person, individually, as a client, as a student. Please give me 20 minutes without you. You know what I mean? It's like, I need my me time. So, all right. So, I hope that didn't hurt anybody's feelings. And if it did, you're too fucking sensitive and you're probably not
angry soccer mom. Yeah. Looking for her glass of wine.
Jose says, you should have a sign that says, do not distract the instructor.
Social distance.
Yeah, social distancing in effect. There you go. Social distancing in effect. Oh, my goodness. All right. Stuff that people forget. All right, stuff that people forget. This is how we're gonna spend the rest of the time doing this. Again, we polled all of our instructors, about 12 people, all this morning, and said, hey, what are the top three things that people don't do, and what are the things that people forget, you know? And a lot of people agreed on the majority of these things were said multiple times.
Yeah.
When it comes to this, things that people forget, I'm gonna say this because all 12 instructors said this. What is one of the top things that people forget? All 12 instructors said this. Candy for Glenn. It's like a fucking rule. All right, no, I'm just kidding. It wasn't candy for Glenn.
I was going to say, I did not say that. Did say
note-taking equipment.
Yeah.
Bring something to take notes with. Not your phone. Here's why I don't like the phone. Take video with your phone of us teaching. We're happy to do that. Take video. Have someone else take video of you shooting. Take a video note while you're standing waiting for your turn in an iteration or loading mags. Take a video of someone else doing something that you like or a piece of gear. Use your phone in that way. But here's why taking just notes on your phone sucks. One. Drain your battery, get your phone overheated and stuff like that in the heat. Mm-hmm. Then you got to carry your phone with you everywhere you go. You might break it. I've seen more than one student break their phone in class because they went down hard on it, you know, while we were doing a ground drill or something like that, fighting, doing stuff like that, and they freaking broke their phone screen. That's no fun, all right? That really kind of puts a damper on things. Mm-hmm. So don't do that. Also, it's too easy to get distracted. If you have your phone out, I know you because I'm you. I'm a person. I'm a human. You're going to get distracted. You're also, real quick, I'm going to check this text. Real quick, I'm going to check this message. Oh, real quick, I'm going to look at Instagram. Or don't use your phone. Bring a Write in the Rain notebook. That's right. A Write in the Rain notebook. All right. Or the Rothko version of it. I don't give a shit. But some kind of weather-resistant paper because it can get wet, it can get sweaty and all that. It'll freaking make your shit run off the page. You'll be sad. Get a Write in the Rain style notebook. A good solid pen. Get about 3 or 4 of them so you have extras.
And keep them in your range bag. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. Yeah. I mean, I've got – that's my Write in Rain is my dope card for when we do long range. Mm-hmm. And I just leave it in there. And why not? It's not going to get screwed up. Keep a couple extra pens in there. And then that way it'll always be in there for any other classes or even when you're out testing stuff by yourself. Mm-hmm. You can write stuff down by yourself.
You're paying for knowledge. Record it. You're literally paying for this information. Record that information.
Yeah.
If you don't write it down, you're going to forget it. It is value lost. Every single one of our instructors in every single class we have ever taught for 11 years now has said, write notes. Take notes. You're going to lose value in the class if you don't.
Yeah.
And yet we still see a lot of students just flat out don't do it. You're losing value if you don't.
Yeah.
There you go.
I agree 100%.
Other things that people forget, enough water. You're going to go through more water than you think, even in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. Bring a couple of gallons. You're also going to want water for potentially rinsing off, washing off, wetting your cloth, whatever. Eyes.
That was a huge Huge thing.
Bring enough water.
Yeah.
Bring snacks that are going to give you energy, sustenance. I like to eat small throughout the day.
Yeah.
A lot of times people will watch me and be like, dude, you didn't eat lunch. It's like, no, I didn't. I'm usually busy. During lunch, other people are eating. I got to change targets. I got to move something around. I got to do something, right? But I'll eat little things throughout the day. I'd rather grab a little bar here, a little bar there. Is it nice to sit down and have a sandwich? Sure, but then the problem is now I'm heavy. Now I'm weighted down.
Yeah.
Now the rest of the day, I want to take a nap. And if I want to take a nap, I know the students want to take a nap because they ate too much. I watch these students bust out these huge meals, eat. I watch their performance. I know what's going to happen. It's going to go down, and it does every time. Bring energy snacks throughout the day. For lunch, yeah, sure. Sit down, relax, have a little snack, have a little wrap or, you know, something like that. But don't get so clogged down with food that it weighs your ass down.
Yeah.
This is one of the ones that that I also brought up, and as well as several instructors. A weapon that's been shaken down, zeroed, and rattle checked. Right? What we're talking about here is make sure, kind of like we talked about earlier, making sure your gear squared away. When you bring a firearm, this is one of the things that people forget now, right? They forget to bring that. They forget to bring something that has been completely checked and ready to go. Now, again, if it's a basic level class, we don't expect that. If it's an intro to precision rifle number one class, we don't expect that. But by day two, yeah, go back to your hotel, go back to your house, go back to wherever and check your shit.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Loctite your stuff, whatever it is, right? And in addition, something that Drew already mentioned is if you can, spare guns.
Yeah.
That means spare guns and always spare bolt action rifle. If you're coming to a rifle class and you got a spare bolt gun, or even if it's a gas gun, AR-10 or something like that, bring it. Even if it's a completely different caliber, bring it. We would rather take the time to switch you over to a completely different setup than to keep fucking with something that's broken.
Yeah.
And I have watched so many people limp through classes, losing the value of the training day. Because they're messing around with a broken piece of shit. I've watched that happen too much.
Yeah.
You can't let that happen. If you can bring a spare gun, bring it. Spare handgun, spare carbine, spare shotgun even. Whatever it is you're showing up to do. If you got a backup, even if it's an entirely different setup, bring it. It's faster for us to switch you to a new setup, get a quick zero, get some quick dope, whatever, than it is for us usually to keep messing around with a broken piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, like, shit happens. I got a private student I train with a lot, and he always brings an extra carbine, and he runs really high-end shit. You know, most of his stuff's like knights, armament, you know, good stuff. And he had a gun that just started having problems. And we spent, shit, man, I mean, we do 4 hours at a time. We probably spend an hour and a half of one of his sessions just messing with this one gun. He always has a backup. So normally if he has any problems, we just switch to a backup. But he was like, I want to figure this out. The point is, if he wouldn't have had a backup, at the end of that hour and a half, we were done. Like, I'm like, dude, this shit's not going to work. It needs to go to Smith. I have expended my knowledge here. I have no idea what's wrong with it, you know? And he's like, no problem. He just pulls out another gun and off we go. So he didn't waste the other, you know, 2.5 hours of his session because he wasn't able to do anything. Proper range clothing, appropriate for the weather. People often ask why we wear pants, long sleeve shirts, hoodies, and hats. They're like, oh, it's so hot out here. It's so hot out here. And it's like, okay, let's compare how much time you spend outside to how much time I spend outside. I learned growing up with cowboys and later in life watching people like, you know, Bedouin desert dwellers. I learned watching these people and how they dressed. They wear pants. They wear long sleeve shirts. They wear head coverings. They wear hoods. Why do they do that? Because they create an effect of evaporative cooling, and it keeps them cooler, and it keeps the sun from just cooking their ass. And then people show up in shorts, short sleeve shirts. Ladies show up in tank tops, no hat, no neck covering, and just get fucking sun blasted. And by the afternoon, they're just so baked, they're so red, they're so tired, they're so dehydrated that their performance is freaking nosedives. And it's like, well, another thing that's in the course outline is wear weather-appropriate gear. We do not cancel classes for adverse weather conditions unless those conditions become non-conducive to learning. That is exactly what it says. All right? So wear weather-appropriate clothing. Think about it. What are you going to need? Bring extra shirts. There is nothing more refreshing in the middle of a training day. Sometimes people don't even notice I do this, but I will change into another shirt. Some sweat-soaked, crusty, white freaking shirt. I don't always do it, but sometimes I will. I'll bring an extra shirt. I brought extra pants. I brought extra boots, extra socks. If I know it's going to be a particularly horrendous day, or if I know I'm going into a little dehydrator, if I'm a little tired or something, I'll bring extra clothes just to kind of spruce myself up a few hours before class ends. So at the last few hours of class, I will feel better. My feet will feel better. I will feel better. I bring powder. You know, I'll take a trip to my truck, powder the inside of my boots. You know, powder the freaking pits, feel better, man. Like, it makes a difference. Ammo loading devices is one of the things Bravo brought up. Bring a way to load your mags. I know that you can sit there and pow, 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 pound rounds into a magazine, no problem. But when you're shooting 300 or 400 rounds in a class,
fingers hurt.
Dude, and again,
especially if you're not doing it repeatedly all the time.
And all those little annoyances add up.
Yeah. Especially for ladies who come out and shoot and don't have people loading their mags for them, bring a speed loader.
Guys, let me tell you something. If you're loading mags for your lady, you're crippling her.
Yeah.
You're crippling her. If you're not teaching her how to rack the slide, you're crippling her. If you're not teaching her how to properly hold the gun, you're crippling her. If you're not teaching her how to run the bolt, you're crippling her.
We see it a lot, though.
You're crippling her. Stop that shit.
Yeah, that's why we always say don't learn from your husband or boyfriend.
Let them do it. Let them fail a little. Show them techniques. And if you don't know the right technique, send them to someone like us. Yeah. Send them to a great instructor who knows more techniques than you know. Not because you're stupid, but because you don't know all the things we've seen. I deal with this every single day.
Yeah.
You don't. I see thousands of different shooters. You don't, more than likely. All right. This is something Drew brought up, as well as several other instructors. Kind of the quintuplet of mostly handgun related stuff, but that's a quality holster, a quality belt, which I would say quality belt all the time.
Yeah.
Don't show up to a training class without a belt on. You're going to be moving.
But we see that.
You're
going to
be getting in and out of positions. I mean, any training class, even a medical training class.
We see it a lot. We see a lot of people that don't have belts.
Now, if you've got form-fitting clothes, like Drew loves her yoga pants, for example,
but
like
I have
workout
a holster
pants.
Holster in my.
But yeah, but I'm saying your stuff is like tight enough; it's not going to fall off without a belt. But I mean, like loose pants falling down, dude. If your pants won't stay up on their own, bring a belt. Even in a medical class, you're going to be getting in a different position, squatting down, kneeling down, things like that. Wear a belt, man.
Yeah.
But a quality holster, that's a huge problem. And again, in a basic level class, we expect people are going to show up with a flip-flop holster.
Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah.
Little shitty little nylon Uncle Mike pieces of garbage. We get it. But make sure you're checking your equipment. Now, on that note, I will say this, and that is maintenance. Mag holders fall apart. Mm-hmm. Holsters fall apart, even the best ones. Belts need maintenance. They need to be cleaned. They need to be checked. Buckles need to be checked. All those screws and doodads, they all need to be checked. All maintenance shit. You can't just set it and forget it. Not in this case. In line with clothing is things like sunscreen and a hat. Sunscreen. How many students show up without sunscreen blows my mind.
Yeah. Especially in Arizona. Even in the wintertime.
Especially the pale skins.
Yeah.
Get some freaking
ginger out there.
Some ginger, freckle-faced, pale skin out there. Like, I'll be fine. I'm like, you're going to be dead by the end of class. You're literally going to die. I'm going to have to carry you out of here in a body bag. If there's anything left after the ashes drift away. Like, dude, don't do that. Because that all decreases learning. Like, sometimes we'll tell people, like, hey, you should do this. And they'll be like, oh, I'm pretty tough. I'm like, oh, there's no doubt that you can handle it. But it's going to decrease your capability to learn.
And if you're traveling from out of state, which is another huge thing, that if you're a listener coming to, you know, train with us or any other organization – and you don't know the local weather, check into it. See how hot it's going to be. See what the weather is typically like. Yeah. Make sure you properly train yourself. You know, go outside. Spend more hours outside in the sun. Mm. I think that's huge. A lot of people don't understand that Arizona sun is brutal.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you live out here, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, but I live out here. I'm acclimated. Not really, because you go from an AC car to an AC house to another AC, you know, building.
AC shopping center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't actually spend your days outside with no other water source around. Literally, people are like, oh, yeah, but I swim all the time. You're also in a body of water. Out at the range, you are literally in the middle of the desert shooting.
So Instagram, folks, Instagram Live's about to end. We've got four more things that we're going to list out here, as well as talking about what we're going to be doing next week. So make sure you check, get the last bit of the show on Facebook. You can watch the live video. You can probably watch about the last 5 minutes or so. Or make sure you check it out iTunes, Spotify, or Podbean. So when it ends, you guys be good to go. Have a good day. All right, on. Cleaning equipment and maintenance tools. Those are two different things. Cleaning equipment is to make sure that the gun is cleaned and it's going to perform well and it's properly lubricated.
Yeah.
Maintenance tools are other things, such as hex and Allen keys that fit your optics or your little doodads. I literally keep an Altoids tin in my range bag. Anyone who's trained with me has seen the magical Altoids tin full of freaking hex keys that every time I get a new piece of gear, equipment, or whatever that attaches to a gun with an Allen, that little Allen goes in that little freaking bin if it doesn't already have a size that matches it. Now, I pretty much have an Allen key inside that that fits everything I could ever want to do. It is very, very uncommon for me, every now and then it happens, to find something that those keys can't fit. Right? So those maintenance tools, lens cloths, lens cleaners, your, let me think, what else? There's something else I had in my mind, dang it. Oh, blue Loctite. Make sure you're keeping that stuff around so if things come undone, you can take care of it yourself. Right? Maintenance tools in addition to just cleaning supplies. Loaded magazines. This is something one of our students or one of our instructors brought up. It's in the email.
That was me.
Preload magazines, right?
Yeah.
Preload magazines. Load them up, all of them. The more loaded magazines you can bring to class, the more time you're going to have to train and the less time you're going to spend loading.
Yeah. That's huge. We spend so much time waiting for people to load mags because they don't read the email. And then they're like, and one of your first questions is everybody's magazines loaded? And then half the class is like, no.
When I take a class as a student, I would rather hang out with my fellow students, take time to sit down and drink some water and relax, take my notes, chit chat with the instructor on the side if they're available, ask him a question, look at my target, right? Whatever. I would rather do that than be loading mags.
Yeah.
So like if I go take a pistol class, I literally scrounge up every freaking pistol magazine I have. I want to show up with like 15 or 20 loaded magazines minimum. With ARs, dude, there's no reason you shouldn't have 15 or 20 freaking AR mags. If I go take a carbine class, I never load a mag all day. I will literally bring an entire half-size duffel bag full of freaking loaded magazines. You know? It's like, dude, I will bring 40 loaded freaking magazines to class. And everything that's not preloaded, I want to make sure it's on stripper clips so I can jam magazines real fast. The last thing I want to do is spend my time loading freaking mags. Now, I understand not everybody's like that. So if you only have three or five magazines, that's fine. But load them all and have a fast and quick way to load them. Instead of bringing in individual little boxes where you got to open every single box and pull out the trays and whatever, dump it into a freaking ammo can. Just bring an ammo can that we can reach in, grab a handful, load mags. You know, do something that's going to make the loading process more efficient.
Yeah.
Two more things here. Clear Eye Pro for low light shooting. That is a problem this instructor in particular I know is running with me a lot, where we go to do a low light class or we're just going to be outside in the dark. Like we've been teaching, you know, some of our classes have been at night. And people are showing up with darkened and shaded Eye Pro sunglasses. I'm like, dude, it's dark out here. The sun is down. This is an after sundown class. Even if it's not a specific low light, no light or night vision class or something like that, but we're just shooting in the dark, even if we have lights on. It's like, dude, you're not going to be able to see very well.
Yeah.
Bring your clear eye protection. And the last thing that me and a couple other instructors came up with, final thing a lot of people forget, is the actual gear you use and not just what you want to use or your fantasy land gear. It's good to come out training your plate carrier. It's good to come out training your chest rig and your war belt and your drop leg holster and your cry pants and your all that shit. It is good to train in that. You have to find the limitations and the capabilities of those gear, or that gear. But you should spend the majority of time
in your everyday sneakers, in your everyday clothes,
training with the stuff that you know you're going to have with you.
Yeah.
Find the limitations of the gear you're most likely going to have with you in an emergency, whatever that may be. So there you go, guys. The top things that instructors, specifically from independence training, wish students would do before they came to training courses, and the top items and gear that people forget. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. Get hosting information anytime via email info@trainingaz.com. It's actually really easy to host us in your area. It's not difficult at all. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram as Independence Training, The Arms Room Show, and Red Wire Gear. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Be sure to follow them as well. And by the way, if you're listening to the show and you're not following The Arms Room on Instagram, please do so. We have a shockingly low following on Instagram.
We do.
For all the listeners that we have on the show, we have a great Facebook following and almost a zero freaking Instagram following. I don't know how that worked, but we really need more followers on The Arms Room Show. So please, make sure you guys are going over there and following us on Instagram. Make sure you check out the other shows on the Heroes Media Group. A lot of great shows on that network. Next week, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite Robert Heinlein quotes. If you don't know who Robert Heinlein is, what the fuck? Find out who Robert Heinlein is. Read some of his amazing books like Starship Troopers or The Moon is a Harsh Mistress. Phenomenal books. And of course, he's got so many other great ones. But Robert Heinlein, a great, great mind. He said a human being should be able to change a diaper, plan an invasion, butcher a hog, con a ship, design a building, write a sonnet, balance accounts, build a wall, set a bone, comfort the dying, take orders, give orders, cooperate, act alone, solve equations, analyze a new problem, pitch manure, program a computer, cook a tasty meal, fight efficiently, die gallantly. Specialization is for insects. So, on our show next week, we're going to be talking about discussing why specialization is for insects, what that means, and why skills should be diverse and also complementary. Until next time, you guys stay safe and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.